We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrand. Joining me, as always, over there in cool New York City, my man, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm good, and let's pull back some layers of this onion. You're having some technical difficulties, which is always rare.
It's very complicated. I don't want to talk about what happened. It's very complicated.
Yeah, you had a bit of an old man issue in that you forgot to plug in something.
I did. You know what happens to the best of us, but we are back.
Yeah.
Hopefully better than ever here on the show. Thank you so much for downloading. You can always find all of our old stuff out on solidverbal.com. If you're just finding the show, if you like what you hear, please do go on out to Apple or Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, all the usual spots where you can find a podcast, you can find the Solid Verbal. And if you really like the show, subscribe, leave us a review, give us a star rating. All that stuff really helps. Of course, as you're watching games this coming weekend, week 7, a big weekend, give us a call, 408-VERBAL-1. That's 408-837-2251. That's our Reverb line. We're going to cut up our favorite voice messages from the weekend, mix them down into a 3.5-4 minute clip, courtesy of our friend Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did I miss? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit. You can find more of the Verbal on all of those separate channels, Dan.
This is all true. So the reason why I used the introduction to point out that you are having audio issues is because I was patiently waiting for you, trying to keep my energy and enthusiasm up.
Yeah.
So, of course, I turned on Mr. Worldwide.
Right. Pitbull, Mr. 305.
Mr. 305. And so that got me to thinking, why don't I just call my shot? Why don't I just say right now that it is going to be the most explosive, wild ending Saturday or week 7 in general of the season thus far? I'm going to say it's Worldwide Saturday.
Worldwide Saturday. I like it.
It's
like
going down like timber, right?
Sure.
Time of Our Lives. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know other Pitbull songs. What else should I be knowing about Pitbull? You're the one that listens to Top 40 Radio.
Feel This Moment, a hit from back in 2012.
Oh, Christina Aguilera. Okay.
We had Fireball, 2014. We got International Love, which was, you know, a little controversial with Chris Brown, but a good tune. Nonetheless, we've got Give Me Everything, which is sort of like the quintessential Pitbull song.
You got All On the Floor these, with J-Lo.
All of these apply to Worldwide Saturday. The question that I have, though, do we just go Mr. Worldwide Saturday and make it official?
Well, then you're adding a person into it. I think it's more of the concept of Pitbull, the energy that Pitbull brings to the universe by just saying Worldwide.
We'll go Worldwide Saturday.
Yeah,
and stay tuned at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Our most ambitious secret verbal yet. We're going after Pitbull this week, okay?
Are we going after Pitbull, or are we using Pitbull as a subject to go to somebody unwitting?
To be determined.
Okay.
To be determined. Yep. I like where your head's at.
Fair enough. Worldwide Saturday.
It is college football week 7.
Mm-hmm.
Week 7. Not a big week of games last week. This week, a lot of big games. A lot of
We had some excitement, but yes.
Had some excitement. Not anything like we're going to see in week 7. So we're going to get into your window of opportunities, some of our headlining games. We got a whole bunch of other quickies that we're just going to mention. Got to make mention of some of these games here and get everyone ready, get psyched, get amped for all the college football that's going to take place on Worldwide Saturday, this being week 7.
Okay, fair enough.
Where do you want to start?
I mean, we should play the sound to get us going, I guess. Ooh, there she is.
Let's argue over this.
Okay.
I feel it coming on.
Why do you have to be so combative?
As I look at what we would deem headliners, I see a big 12 o'clock game, the big noon, if you will, on Fox between Oklahoma and Texas, Red River Shootout.
Yeah.
I see 2:30 games of note, Alabama at A&M, Michigan State at Wisconsin. And then I see three biggins at night. I see USC at Notre Dame, Penn State at Iowa, Florida at LSU.
Just Hawaii at Boise.
Hawaii at Boise, not to be overlooked.
Yeah, yeah.
If I use those as kind of the just the framework for Worldwide Saturday, I think the soft underbelly would be between that 3:30 game and the start of the nightcaps.
So what is that? You're saying like between 7 and 7:28?
No, I'm saying between 3:30 when Michigan State Wisconsin kicks off.
Oh, okay.
And like 7:30 when Notre Dame, USC, and Penn State, Iowa kick off. That would be that would be your window, I think.
You think that's a better window than just skipping the first half of Red River?
You have more time, I guess, middle of the day. It depends how early you wake up.
Right.
This might be a good weekend to go to bed early Friday night, wake up super early Saturday morning, maybe go for a morning hike.
Ooh.
Do something with your significant other bright and early, go out to breakfast, maybe catch a brunch.
Is it considered a hike if you live in a state that doesn't really have mountains? Like if the terrain is not necessarily with incline. Like can you go for a hike in Kansas? Can you go for a hike in Florida?
They have trees and trails, I'm assuming.
That's a walk.
I don't think mountains are required for the hike, Dan.
I think you need some sort of topography. I think you need terrain. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm generally wrong, but that's my inclination.
Maybe do that in the morning.
Okay.
If you miss the first half of the Red River Shootout.
Yeah.
I think you're okay.
I think learn to make something new for brunch. If you've never frittata'd, make a frittata.
See, I kind of like that better. Because you have all of the morning to work with as opposed to trying to shoehorn something into middle of the afternoon.
Right. Okay. Yeah, if it spills over into Red River, no big deal. Because Red River into the second quarter, you've got what should be somewhat exciting football and a baked egg dish that you have populated with your choice of innards.
You know, we got an email today. Yeah. Again, stating that you're bullying me and pushing me around too much. I'm okay with it in this sense.
I thought about bringing up, it was one of the most, it was maybe the pettiest email we've ever received, which is saying a lot. Can we save that for the twos cruise? Because
sure.
I think our plan is to do messages in bottles this coming week, right?
We're either going to do message in bottle or we're going to play Battleship, one or the other.
Okay. No reason we can't do both, I suppose. It's our show. We're in control. Okay.
So we're going early morning window here.
Yeah.
Of opportunity. So get your stuff in early morning. Maybe go see an early morning matinee if you're really old. You could probably
skip game day. Skip the
game day all the time.
Fox,
yeah.
I know, same. Foxes. I admit something. I have not watched either game day, nor have I watched the Fox pregame show. Not because I'm trying to make a statement. It's mostly because fatherhood has gotten in the way.
Yeah.
My question, though, to you is, have you watched any of Fox's halftime shows featuring that same cast of Urban Meyer, Reggie Bush, I think it's Rob Stone, Matt Leinart, and Brady Quinn?
I have.
Do you have a takeaway? Do you have like a snap review?
I think Urban Meyer is actually pretty good.
I think all of them are pretty good, actually. I think Urban Meyer is good, and you can tell He's always thinking about, should I give really good insight or should I just give pretty good insight? I think Reggie Bush is pretty good. Leinart might be the weakest link there, but I still think he's okay.
Brady Quinn's wardrobe's a little too loud. Like, I need earplugs to look at some of those suits, but otherwise he gives pretty good feedback.
Brady Quinn sort of dresses like a guy handing out coupons for Vegas clubs.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. A
little bit of that. Yeah. But all in all, I mean, we've always been fans of Rob Stone, so I think it's a pretty good product.
I would agree. And, you know, we made plenty of jokes early on about how we couldn't wait to see Urban Meyer being wooden and resentful.
Yeah, right, right. He's good.
On the show, he's really good. And he does a good job explaining things on or off the tiny field.
I prefer on.
Me too. But I think he does a really good job.
All right, so we agree. Frittata Saturday.
No. Worldwide Saturday.
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
All right, let's do it. Let's start with that Big Noon Fox game. High Noon. Play it at the Cotton Bowl. It's a neutral site. It's Oklahoma. It's Texas. It is the Red River Shootout. Daniel.
Double sound game?
Double sound game, sure.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's a rivalry game, and you know what you have to do in a rivalry game.
Please remind me.
You got to throw those records out, please. I'm begging you.
Just throw the records out, dog.
Please.
Get rid of those records. You don't need them.
I mean, we're almost, it's a Marie Kondo if you think about it.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Situation. Okay. Talk to me about Oklahoma, Texas.
Oklahoma, Texas. Point spread here is 10 in favor of the Sooners.
Mm-hmm.
I think I trust Sam Ellinger to fight like hell.
Okay.
And I definitely trust him to give Texas a fighting chance. I just don't see how Texas's defense is going to stop the Oklahoma passing attack. That's been beat up defense. Yeah, it's beat up. That's been a weak link for them so far this season. And as I look at this game and I look at this point spread, I feel very similarly to the way I felt looking at the Ohio State-Nebraska line a couple weeks ago. When I'm looking at the numbers, I get all the advanced metrics telling me that it's a 10-point game. But in my heart, after watching a lot of Oklahoma this year, my gut tells me that Oklahoma is going to win. They're going to cover this one, even if it's somewhat back and forth and closer early on.
Yeah, I have this one as, and I don't do scores for all games anymore, but I have this one around 37-30 Oklahoma. So I suppose if you're interested in lines, that would mean Texas should cover in my head. But we don't know a ton about Oklahoma right now. The teams they've played haven't necessarily given us all of the insight on the Sooners. They started slow last week. They had injuries up front. They had injuries in the backfield. We know Jalen Hurts, and we know something very specific about him going back to his time at Alabama. And that's, he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. We saw last year the turnovers really affected Oklahoma early, and they couldn't make up, even though Kyler Murray was terrific all season long. Texas was able to hold on. I believe they've split the Red River. Obviously, Oklahoma won the Big 12 championship game, but split the Red River these past 4 years. Texas's defense, as you brought up, worries me. But in this specific game, I just think it's a maximum amount of attention thing. Even though the Texas defense didn't look great at times against West Virginia last week, both of these teams are playing on the road, I mean, away from home for the second consecutive week. So I don't think there's an edge in terms of situation. So I think ultimately it's Oklahoma's ability to generate more offense. And we don't know about the defense. We still don't. So if you like Oklahoma to cover this game, that means you have a lot of faith in a huge step forward for this defense. I have some faith, but not a lot. So I have them only winning by a touchdown.
Only winning by a touchdown. That would be a pretty big deal.
I mean, even when Texas hasn't been good, they've won this game.
I know. I think that would be a pretty big deal because Oklahoma has been a world beater so far this season.
But who? Who is in their world?
Well,
UCLA?
And that's a fair point. But yeah.
Kansas?
You know, something that I've been pretty high on all along.
Yeah.
Ever since we started doing this podcast, Killer Instinct. Blow teams out. Blow teams out. Don't eke out a win. Blow teams out. If you're a good team, show what you got. Oklahoma has really given us little reason to doubt them at this point. So 10 points, Texas, a defense that we know has trouble against the pass, a quarterback who's played in big games, who's looked awesome throwing the football this year.
But has he looked awesome in those big games? Granted, against better defenses, but you think about Jalen Hurts, did he rise to those Iron Bowl playoff type moments the last time he was starting games? Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but that Iron Bowl defense is not walking through this door. This is the Texas Longhorns with a beat-up secondary, and they've had trouble against the pass all year.
Okay.
Oklahoma wins, they cover.
Okay.
Disagree. 3:30, CBS, Alabama at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, a 17-point road favorite. This is A&M's fourth game this season against a Power 5 opponent.
Yeah.
The first two were against Clemson and Auburn. So not
tough
bad.
Opponents.
Last week, they had Arkansas, and that was just a four-point win. It was a rivalry spot, but Arkansas is not so good. And I think that raised some eyebrows, at least over on this side of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got Alabama, Dan.
They do.
How do you feel about the situation here? You like the situation for A&M?
Did you see the Kirk Herbstreit video, by the way?
Kirk Herbstreit video. No.
The Kirk Herbstreit video. So he and the Bear, Chris Felica, I want to say is how you pronounce it, and Chris Fowler were in like the backseat of a van, like after the game last week, some situation where they were exhausted, possibly having some cocktails.
Sure.
And the conversation, I think it was Instagram Live or something, and they were talking about Kyle Field. And Kirk Herbstreit was essentially mocking the House of Horrors that people paint Kyle Field as. He's like, everybody talks about such a big, they've expanded the stadium. You don't just march into Kyle Field, the 12th man. And then he's just like, I don't know, teams just keep going there and winning. And I don't think the population of Aggieville took so kind to it. But he's not calling this game. It's a CBS game. I just thought it was a nice little intro into a top team in the country going to play Texas A&M to get people's blood boiling. The thing that you need to do right now to put a dent into Alabama, it seems, is to be a little bit fearless offensively, especially on the ground with their injuries up front, that teams have been able to gain chunks on the ground against Alabama. Bad news, Texas A&M is not really a chunk running team right now. They lost their starting quarterback for the season. The offensive line has not been very good. I think I like Alabama here. Even though Texas A&M's defense can be categorized as okay sometimes, there's some okayness to the Aggies. Okayness? Okay, that just sounded a little bit strange coming off of my tongue. I think Alabama wins this game by 3 touchdowns. I know it's been relatively close these past couple years, all things considered, but I think Alabama is in too good of a place through the air right now that they're not winning this game. I don't know. I have it like 38-17.
I don't like the situation at all for A&M. Okay. For starters, they're playing Bama, which is never good. But secondly, as I said on Tuesday, and as I've said for the last month, it feels to me like a lot is on Kellen Mond.
Yeah.
And I think he's good. I don't think he's that good. I don't think he can do it on his own. I don't know if he can cover 17 on his own. The one thing that I will point out here, and you know, we talked about it a little bit with Oklahoma a few minutes ago, but at least on the Alabama side, this is the best defense Bama will have faced so far this season. So perhaps that gives A&M an avenue to keep this interesting for a while. I don't really buy that. I think I'm with you. I like Alabama to win and cover here. But it's, I think, a bullet point. It's something worth mentioning. A&M's actually been pretty good on defense so far this season. So curious to see how they contend with just another loaded Alabama cast of characters.
Yeah, it's them or South Carolina. It's pretty neck and neck. But yeah, it's around that. And Alabama was fully good against South Carolina.
3:30, Michigan State at Wisconsin. We've got the Badgers. 10.5 points, the favorite at home. So the last time these teams played, Dan.
Yeah.
Wisconsin won in 2016 by 24 points. Beat them pretty handily. But before that, maybe 6 of the previous 7 meetings, they were all within one score. It was close.
Makes sense.
Historically, pretty close series here between these two teams. Doesn't mean anything now, but just interesting context. We try to paint the picture here on the verbal.
Mm-hmm. That was a Wisconsin team without Jonathan Taylor. That was, I looked this up because I was hazing out. It was Dare Ogunbowale.
Ogunbowale
and Corey Clement. Good duo. Talented, good. But not Jonathan Taylor.
It's a tough ask here. Tough ask to conjure up any kind of optimism about the Michigan State offense, especially after we saw them last week against Ohio State, and especially given how good Wisconsin's looked on defense so far this season. Fair to say?
Oh, definitely. Wisconsin has been lights out. And Michigan State's defense has not been the best. It hasn't necessarily been where it's been, but I still think there's a ton of talent, especially up front. And Ohio State's going to give a lot of teams with pretty good defenses a lot of trouble.
Do you have any trepidation going Wisconsin here, minus the 10.5? And
sure,
you know, whatever you feel about the point spread, we can take it and throw it out the window. But Jack Cohn throwing against Michigan State defense, at some point you would presume Michigan State has the artillery up front in their front seven to somewhat contain Jonathan Taylor tailback. Like, I don't think Wisconsin can be purely one-dimensional and beat Michigan State.
So the thing I think that's going against Michigan State is they're on the road once again. So coming from the blackout in Columbus, now going to Camp Randall, this is back-to-back very tough places to play. So situationally, it's not great for Michigan State. But Wisconsin, I don't think, necessarily has the team speed and the creativity on offense that Ohio State has. I think they're a lot more direct, and that's fine. It has worked very well for them thus far this season. But the last time we saw Wisconsin play a really good-looking defense, they scored not two, not three, not four, but one offensive touchdown against right. Northwestern, correct?
Correct.
I can't imagine that Michigan State's defense is so much worse than Northwestern's. In fact, these two teams have played each other, Michigan State and Northwestern, and Michigan State handled them a lot better than Wisconsin did. So it's hard to put a ton of stock in Northwestern as a litmus test of sorts, Ty, but it's something. It's common data.
Yeah.
So I actually think Michigan State keeps this very close. I think this is a one-score game, and Michigan State bottles up Jack Cohn in the passing game, and ultimately it's the combination of Wisconsin's offense and defense, and Michigan State, even with an improved offense, I think their ability to make plays for 60 consecutive minutes is too much. So I think Wisconsin wins this one, and I don't think they score 24 points.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I'm with you. I looked at this one for a long time last night trying to study up here, and
yeah,
it just, I have, Jack Cohn's been fine so far this season. Fine.
Yeah.
I just, this is a different level of defense than they face this season, and they could well win. I like the fact that it's
at
home.
Don't disrespect Northwestern.
No, but I just, I think it's within a score. I think it's like a 7-point win for Wisconsin.
I think it's even tighter, but yeah, I think it's single digit.
Dan, yeah. I have an important question before we move on.
Okay, I have an important answer.
Let's say you found $100 in the street.
Yes.
You're going to pick it up? You're going to keep walking? What are you going to do?
Okay. I am probably going to pick it up.
Of course.
I am going to grab change because you can't spend a $100 bill everywhere. And I'm going to see if somebody on the street needs some cash and give some of it there and some of it to my ongoing taco fund.
You take the money. And my question, Dan,
yeah,
is since we're out here picking winners left and right.
Yeah, that's true.
Why aren't you betting on them? Why aren't you betting on them?
That's a good question, Ty. I don't have a good answer.
Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with my bookie.
Okay.
Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet's going to lose, you can always just take the other side. Hedge your bets a little bit. If you're the kind of guy, if you like to bet a little, win a lot, try the parlay. If all your picks come through, you multiply your winnings. No matter how you bet, the NFL season's the best time of the year to do it. Not just college, ooh, NFL as well.
Make a weekend of it.
MyBookie.ag. It's the premier place to bet all your favorite sports action, especially the NFL, college football, every weekend. You can join now. MyBookie is going to double your first deposit. All you got to do is use the promo code SOLID, S-O-L-I-D, to activate the offer. That is promo code SOLID. MyBookie.ag today. You pay, you play, you win, you get paid. Your promo code here is SOLID. Do it up.
Consider it.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Let's move on to the nightcap.
Okay. This one, I assume you'll be watching.
7:30 NBC. We've got USC at Notre Dame. The battle for the jeweled shalala, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
The Irish, an 11-point home favorite. Okay, here we go. I think you already know I'm going to take USC plus the points, right? You know this as a practical matter. This is just what I do with Notre Dame.
This is just host tie. This isn't real life tie, though.
This is host tie.
Yeah.
Tell me which of these statements you disagree with, okay?
Okay.
I, Ty Hildenbrandt, still think USC is pretty good, or at least good enough to hang with Notre Dame. True or false?
Do I think you believe this?
Do you think that that is a true statement or not?
That USC is still pretty good and can hang with Notre Dame?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's true. You didn't specify for the entire game, but can hang doesn't mean, you know, I'm
I think
it.
No, I think for the whole game. I
okay,
think
so you think this is, you know, a crowd going crazy at the end, trying to prevent a USC red zone drive to hold on to a win kind of thing.
I don't know if it's quite that tight, but I just, okay. I feel like, and I genuinely feel this. This is host tie and real man tie. I think that USC's pretty good.
Okay.
I know they've got their issues, but I do think they can hang with Notre Dame. The difference for me is that I think Notre Dame's a top 10 team, and I think USC's a top 25 team. If you were to like simulate this 100,000 times, Notre Dame's a different order of magnitude. That would show up. But I don't take this game for granted. It is a rivalry. They're playing for the jewel shalala, of course.
Okay.
And historically, this has been a game that has actually been pretty close. I think USC will be loaded up. Got questions at quarterback. Got other questions, obviously, up and down the field, not the least of which is at head coach. But mm-hmm. I think as a really general, broad talking point, yes, USC is good enough to keep this within 11 points.
So at this point, the teams that have given Notre Dame trouble, it was Louisville in the first half and obviously Georgia for four quarters. It seems that you can push Notre Dame around at times up front. You can run on them a little, as eventually Georgia had some success, right?
Sure.
USC has not had success running the ball this year, even though I do like the running backs.
They haven't, but it's also a different system now. You know, it's more predicated on quick throws and yeah. air raidy stuff.
Yeah, no, I know. So Keaton Slovis is starting this game. He has been medically cleared, as has one of USC's starting safeties, Talanoa Hufanga, who is a very physical sort of box type safety for them. So that is certainly encouraging from where they've been these past couple weeks. I think I like Notre Dame here. I don't love any one specific thing. There are players I like about USC. I think it's going to be sort of death by a thousand paper cuts for Notre Dame on both sides of the ball. I think they're going to sit back and make Keaton Slovis march the Trojans 63 yards, 71 yards down the field, which I have trouble thinking that's going to be a consistently good situation for the Trojans. I think it's probably pretty close at halftime, sort of like it was last year where USC did a good job keeping the game within reach. But ultimately, I think a turnover or two, it's what's going to swing this game. So I think it's a couple touchdowns for Notre Dame, something like, I don't know, 34-20.
I want odds. I want odds on a Kyle Hamilton interception here.
Okay.
Because I think there are going to be a handful of picks thrown by Keaton Slovis. Now,
how would you beat Notre Dame right now in mid-October?
How would I beat Notre Dame? Well, let me start by how I think Notre Dame is going to beat USC.
Okay. How to get away with Notre Dame murder.
I think the opportunity for the Irish is to stretch the field because USC's given up a lot of those chunk plays in the passing game. They're 90th in the nation when it comes to passing plays of 10 yards or more.
Right.
Typically, this is not Ian Book's strong suit. It's not something he's done historically all that well, but he will have an opportunity here, I think, to go a little bit deeper against this USC.
I like this USC secondary.
This USC secondary. I do too, yeah. But you know, statistically speaking, that's just something that jumps off the page. So
who do you, is there anybody other than Claypool that you feel good about in this receiving core?
No, I mean, it's sort of an open question. Maybe Cole Kmet. I don't know if he's a deep threat, but
no, he's not. Yeah.
He's certainly a favorite target for Ian Book here. So I don't know the answer to that, but my sense is that that's one of the things that Notre Dame can attack here if they want to beat USC.
Okay.
If USC wants to beat Notre Dame, I think a lot of those short passes, I think a lot of quick passes to try and mitigate Notre Dame's rush can help.
And USC had a bye, so they've been prepping.
USC had a bye. They have been prepping. I think you were wise to mention earlier about the rushing game, if they can find some way to get the running back involved. I don't think that this is an 11-point game.
Okay.
I don't think this is an 11-point game.
Is this host tie or real life tie?
This is both. Okay. I think it's like a 7-point game.
Okay.
I think it's like a 7-point game here. I think Notre Dame wins because they're at home and because they're the better team. But
okay,
it would not at all surprise me if this is like a tie ball game going into the fourth quarter.
Tie ball game. Yeah, I think this is a freshman truths game for Caden Slovis.
7:30 ABC on Worldwide Saturday. Penn State at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
This line has ballooned up to 4 points in favor of the road Nittany Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State's won the last 5 meetings between these two teams, Dan.
They have.
And the last...
Not emphatically.
The last 2 games have been one possession games. Interestingly enough, if we want to pop on over to your Danalytics spreadsheet,
mm-hmm.
Penn State and Iowa, virtually identical in terms of points per drive on both offense and defense. So they're very close in that respect.
Yeah.
There is a very obvious potential mismatch here. And it didn't quite come into focus until the game we saw last week between Iowa and Michigan. Iowa gave up 8 sacks. Penn State has 25 sacks on the year. They're 5th in the nation. Rest assured, Dan, they are coming for Nate Stanley. They are coming
for him.
And
not only do they have great sackers, Ty, they've got guys with great names, right? It's Etor Gross-Matos, Shaka Toney.
Oh, yeah.
Good names. Okay, continue.
If Penn State can disrupt him the way Michigan disrupted him, that's real bad news for Iowa. Because Penn State, unlike Michigan, actually plays offense.
Yeah.
And they're going to score points.
I'm going to use the rule I use in my head when you try not to judge people. You don't judge them on their worst day. You don't judge them on their best day, right? Everybody's sort of in between those 2 days. And I think it's fair to say Iowa Saturday in week 6 was probably their worst day of the season. They've developed offensive linemen really well. This is a defense that shut out Michigan for the final 3 quarters. And you're right. These 2 teams are pretty similar. We saw Penn State's offense struggle against a good, or at least a pretty good Pitt defense. I think they're full on good. So there are questions about, I think, both of these offenses against legitimate opponents defensively. I'm just going to use my rule, Ty. We have a good defense at home as a home dog in a tough place to play, which I really do think Kinnick is at night, not necessarily the Swamp or, you know, Tiger Stadium, whatever. But nonetheless, I'm following my rules here and I'm taking Iowa. I'm just going to do it. I'm outright taking the points, whatever you want. I'm going with the Hawkeyes. I think Nate Stanley had a terrible Saturday. I think he will be better. I think there will be times when Iowa's offensive line does for sure struggle against Penn State's front. But Iowa's not a bad team. They're capable of adjusting. They're capable of making plays. We've seen them beat better teams than this Penn State team. We saw them, 2 years ago, take it to Ohio State?
Yeah.
Nate Stanley?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Was present in that game. So this is an Iowa team capable of rising to the moment. So I'm going with the Hawkeyes here.
I think Penn State wins. I may have made an early move and gotten Penn State at -1 before the game officially opened.
Okay. You like your road dogs. Do it.
I feel good about Penn State -1. I would not want to give away 4 points at home, though. I think I'm with you in that respect here. These games tend to be close, tend to be defensive-minded. I don't need to remind you that I was in attendance for Iowa's 6-4 victory over Penn State back in 2004.
What is the point total? What are you thinking is 99.9% if Penn State scores blank points, they win?
17.
Wow. Okay. I think it's 21.
17. But we both agree we're not giving those points away. So we sort of agree.
Yeah.
Final right. headliner here, 8 p.m. ESPN, Florida at LSU. LSU, a 13-point favorite. Wow.
Yeah.
That is meaty, Dan.
It is.
So, you talked about this one on Sunday, and the matchup that I know you are excited about is Florida's cornerbacks versus LSU's receivers.
Yeah.
Why are you excited about that?
Because Florida's quarterbacks are really good, corner, and LSU's receivers have Joe Burrow throwing them a football, and the burrito, Joe Dirt, whatever you want to call it, has been very, very good this year. Now, the defenses that they've played have not been wonderful. They've not faced corners like Florida's. But the advantage I think LSU has, aside from it being a night game at Death Valley, is what we saw from Florida offensively last week. They were fine at times. They basically used two explosion plays that were complete lapses from Auburn. And that's what good teams should do. They should generate big plays and take advantage of defensive lapses. But they weren't moving the ball consistently down the field against this Auburn defense. And Auburn's defense is probably a little bit better than LSU's top to bottom because of their front and how dangerous they are. But I think it's kind of a mismatch. I don't think they're going to get those big, big plays. So for Florida to go to LSU, and watch out for the trick plays, by the way. No Brad Wing to get penalized this year, though. I think LSU is probably 15 to 17 points better. So really? I'm actually going to give those points. Yeah, I think it at first was a little bit of a confounding line, Ty.
Yeah.
And what do we do with confounding lines?
You generally steer into them, yeah.
You got to steer. So that's what I'm doing here because LSU at night with the better quarterback, with the better offense, with still a lot of talent in their own secondary. I'm going Tigers here.
You're building the whole plane out of that strange line, aren't you?
A little bit. I mean, wings and the nose.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, LSU is more well-rounded on offense. I think we'd agree on that. And that it feels horribly strange to say that, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
13, though, feels like a lot to me.
Okay.
A lot to me. And here's the thing, and this, I'm just going to caution you on this. You may have heard this before. Those who do not learn history are doomed to repeat it, Mr. Rubenstein.
Correct. I agree with that.
LSU's coming out party, you may or may not recall, was week two on the road over Texas.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we seen that movie before? The early win over Texas, coming out being all kinds of exciting. And
you
then
think
as we
burnt orange stink
as,
on LSU?
Yeah, there's a little bit. And as we get a little bit deeper into the season, not always the most reliable measuring stick.
Okay. It was a very different Texas team, but okay.
I'm scarred, Dan, and deformed.
Okay, so you're taking the points?
I'm taking the points. I think Florida's better than they're getting credit for right now.
And so you have a lot of Trask trust?
No, but I think I have a lot of Mullen trust.
Okay.
I think it's something like 28-20 LSU
wins. Right. He's had some success against LSU for sure.
28-20. We disagree. Let's go to some other quickies if we could.
Mm-hmm.
Can we travel back in time?
Boo-da-doo, boo-da-doo-doo. Of course.
8 p.m. Friday, ESPN. Virginia at Miami.
Yeah.
Talk about weird lines, Dan. Miami, a one-point home favorite, does not make any sense to me. Is the wrong team favored?
Probably. Just because, and I don't know if we ever have developed a name for this, but between these two teams, only one of them has a catastrophe factor, and that's Miami. And that scares the hell out of me, even at home. I couldn't speak to how the traffic is on Friday nights in Miami, but I know the stadium isn't anywhere near where a lot of people live, and that scares me a little bit in terms of a crazy crowd. It has not been a fun season necessarily for Miami. I think Virginia's just in a better place in terms of how solid they are, especially on defense. Quarterback has not been great, even with Nicosi Perry coming in relief last week. I think Virginia wins this game.
How can you not remember Miami traffic when we were down there?
No, I know, but that
for the Notre Dame Bama game, we were stuck in traffic for eons. We did a podcast episode in traffic.
I know, but that's so much. Many people so excited. Who knows?
Miami has allowed 25 sacks this year. That's the worst in college football.
Yeah, it's a bad matchup.
Bad matchup here. Give me Virginia. Thinking about locking it up. Maybe not yet.
But yeah, kind of agree.
Let's go to Saturday, high noon, ESPN2.
Wait, hold on. There's another Friday nighter.
Oh, who?
Colorado, Oregon.
Colorado, Oregon. Okay.
Yeah. Come on.
You want to talk about this game?
You separated yourself into two people to talk about Notre Dame, and you're skipping over Colorado, Oregon.
A tie divided against himself cannot stand.
That's true. Very quickly, I think Oregon should win this game comfortably because Colorado's defense is not only beat up, but has been pretty bad this season. And it should be a night. It's not a cure for the common offense, but the symptoms are improving. I think Oregon does a really nice job against Colorado. Colorado presents a much better performance, offensive, just counterpoint to Oregon's really, really strong defense thus far, who hasn't played a ton of really good quarterbacks. I think Stevie Montez, no matter who he's throwing to, should march them down the field a lot more than teams have. So, yeah, I don't think they quite cover, but it's a comfortable win.
High noon, ESPN2.
Okay.
Memphis at Temple. Memphis, a 5-point road favorite here.
Yeah.
I really like Memphis, but I also really like what Temple's done so far this season under Rod Carey.
Defensively, yeah.
Defensively. I'm going to go Temple here plus the points. I like the defense in South Philly. I think I take the better defense at home, Dan.
I think you're right. I think you're right to do it. Memphis has been, we've talked about this before, really good all-around team, but good defense at home. I think I'm going to roll with the Owls throwback sound from my mouth in this game.
3:30 ABC, Florida State at Clemson.
Yeah.
You might be saying, wow, big matchup. Then you see the point spread, 27. Yeah. 27 in favor of the Clemson Tigers, Dan.
Yeah.
I am going Florida State here. Not outright.
Okay.
Not outright.
Give me a reason.
Not outright, but 27 points feels like an awful lot here. And yeah. I have not seen the same killer instinct out of Clemson so far this year. It feels so like this is a game that they could win very comfortably by 17 points. 17 yeah. points wouldn't cover. It'd still be a nice win. But 27's a lot, Dan. That's an awful lot of points.
So the two teams who have held down the Clemson offense to the most extreme degree have been Texas A&M and North Carolina. And the thing they had in common in their performances against Clemson is they held down the rushing attack. They held down Travis Etienne. Florida State, even after their game against Boise State, even including their game against the Broncos, in which it seemed like Boise was running at will, they were just grabbing 7-yard gains on the ground one after the other, they've tightened things up on the ground. And I think for that reason, I think they'll be able to stay in front of Travis Etienne enough, not constantly, but enough to keep this one close, force some punts. I think I have Clemson winning by a couple touchdowns, but yeah, I think it's the gap has been severely closed. The gap will be severely closed from where these two teams were last year when we had, what was it, a professor, a dad, whoever he was, reading
shirtless
in the stands at Doak. Yeah. Well, he was getting a tan on. You have to.
I think I'm here Florida State plus the points.
Okay. And it's 3:30. It doesn't have the same big game feel like it would if it were a night game in Death Valley.
I'm going to check into what I can get out of Florida State money line.
Okay.
Straight up.
I believe James Blackman will be starting. I think that's the last thing
never mind.
I saw.
Never mind. I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out. 3:30 Pac-12 Network. Wazoo on the road at ASU. Wazoo. I have here as a 1-point favorite. I think Arizona State opened as like a 2.5-point favorite. This line's gone back and forth here. I'm going to be honest because this is a show about honesty.
All right, let it all out.
I have zero idea how I feel about this game.
Talk it out then. Figure it out.
I have not been able to properly gauge Wazoo all season long.
Well, it was a bit of a nightmare of a game against Utah. Offensively, especially with the turnovers and lack of execution. ASU has been led by its defense, which has been pretty good offensively, sort of up and down because of that offensive line, which is awful. So you'll have a quarterback running for his life for ASU at home, but he is also a playmaker in Jaden Daniels. Has a couple weapons, has a pretty good running back behind him or next to him. Wazoo, I think, has a higher ceiling with how good their offense can be with Anthony Gordon. But their defense since Alex Grinch left has been getting progressively worse and worse. So,
I think I'm going,
a bad defense on the road with a really good offense?
I'm going to go ASU. I'm going to go ASU. I think it's a sloppy knife fight, and they find a way to get it done. Jaden Daniels makes a play. They give the ball to Eno Benjamin 35 times. They win by like 7 at home.
I agree. And Washington State and Mike Leach just fired Tracy Clays, or they decided to go their separate ways, whatever. Right. So, and by the way, Washington State, because you did bring up Danalytics earlier, they will at some point play Oregon State. And both of those teams are some of the most fun half football teams we've had this year. And it will be such a good full game between some half teams.
Cincinnati at Houston, 3:30 ESPN2. Cincinnati, a 5-point road favorite at Houston. Okay. I'm going to go Cincinnati.
Okay.
I'm going to go Cincinnati. They have the better defense between these two teams.
Definitely.
Don't like the fact that they're on the road. Not quite sure what we got out of Houston right now, though. Like, Houston to me feels like more of an unknown quantity. And at least with Cincinnati, I know what I'm getting.
Yeah, it's a letdown spot for the Bearcats after beating UCF the way they did. Houston has I think he's a sophomore. Clayton Tune is kind of intriguing as a dual threat in a Daniel Holgorsen system. It's for sure not a tough defense at home and a tough place to play, a home dog situation for Houston, because this defense is kind of a nightmare with how they've performed thus far. I like Patrick Carr. I think I'm going to go Houston here. I think I'm going to go with the home team. Sometimes we look too into, well, this team plays better defense, but, you know, it's a lot. I think I'm just going to roll with what should be a pretty good offense at home in a tough game for Cincinnati, all things considered. I think Cincinnati's good, but it's still tough to go on the road and win. So I'm going to go Cougs here.
Three more quick ones. 4 o'clock, okay. Texas Tech at Baylor. The Bears, 11-point home favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a lot to me. I like Baylor a lot. I am taking them at home to win and cover. Thought about making this a lock of the week, but I don't think I'm there yet. So let's lay the points.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. But yeah, Baylor, I think, takes this one. Texas Tech in a letdown spot after beating Oklahoma State, asking for consecutive good Jet Duffy games in a row. Listen, maybe I'm slogging him too much. I don't know if I fully believe in it. Baylor's defense has come to play offensively. They've been able to move the ball like what they did on the ground against Kansas State, generating some bigger chunk plays there. So even with an improved Texas Tech defense, I think Baylor's at least a touchdown better.
4 o'clock ESPN, Iowa State at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Mountaineers, a 10.5-point home dog here.
Yeah.
Candidate for home dog of the week.
Okay.
But it is Brocktober, isn't it?
It is Brocktober.
West Virginia had the big game against Texas last week. I think they're a bit let down now just with Iowa State coming to town. I'm going to take Iowa State to win and cover on the road here. Big game for Brock Purdy.
So the last time Iowa State went on the road, they did not score a touchdown for 3 full quarters.
Didn't score anything. Correct.
West Virginia, Austin Kendall actually made a lot of really nice throws.
Say that again. I couldn't hear. I was all the way over here. I couldn't hear what you said about Austin Kendall.
He made some really nice throws against Texas, comma, but he also threw some stinkers.
Right.
Iowa State's pass defense hasn't been great thus far. West Virginia is going to try to throw. I think I'm going to go with taking the points here. I think Iowa State wins this game, but I think even with West Virginia's defensive struggles, we've seen some offensive struggles from Iowa State. So, you know what? Give me a close back and forth here.
7:30, Nebraska at Minnesota. Minnesota, 7.5-point home favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I am going Nebraska here. I think Scott Frost knows he needs this one.
Mm-hmm.
I am not at all sold on Minnesota being undefeated to this point in the season. Been in a lot of closer games. And I don't know if Nebraska wins outright, though I think they will, but 7.5 points to me, that's far too many in a game like this. So I'm going Cornhuskers.
Will you remember during the preview portion when we were previewing the season in August, I would just ask you to smash a bunch of the sound effects because we're just very excited to be previewing games.
Yeah.
Could you do that real quick?
Dunzo! Congratulations.
That was a really good job by you.
Thank you.
Nebraska won this game by 25 last season in Lincoln. There is something very special happening this Saturday night in this game. It's going to snow. What the hell, Minnesota? What the hell, Upper Plains? I'm seeing that at 7, 8, 9 p.m., we could be down into the low 20s with real feel. Snow showers.
Yeah.
In this game. I think October 12th is this Saturday. Snow showers.
That's right.
That changes things up for me. I think I'm going to go with Minnesota here.
Really?
I think I'm going to take Minnesota to win this game by slight double digit. I'm worried about Nebraska's offense, especially with quarterback being beat up.
I know.
Especially with how they've struggled to run the ball. Especially with how they've just struggled with teams lately. I know they pulled it out against Northwestern, It was a struggle against Illinois. I think Minnesota is at least, at the very least, high. They're above average. They're an above average in terms of how complete they are and in terms of how many different ways they can win. I don't think they're a top 15 team, but I don't think it takes that to beat Nebraska. So, Yeah, I have Minnesota winning this by 10 to 12.
Both Adrian Martinez and JD Spielman were in pads in practice today.
Okay.
So those are the two names to watch for on the Nebraska side.
Yeah, were they getting massages in the training room in pads?
I didn't see that specified, but just saying. They were in pads. That's all I got in terms of game action on Worldwide Saturday. Is there anything else that we need to mention?
We have South Carolina coming off a win against Kentucky and a bye week going to Georgia as 24-point dogs. Anything do it for you? I mentioned Hawaii. No. Hawaii, Boise State. Hawaii has only lost once. It was to, I think, Washington, and it was not close. But Boise State has very quietly taken a step back offensively. Still pretty good, but they've taken a step back and they're going to need to hang with Hawaii. I don't know if you have a lean in that game. Utah, Oregon State. We will have a better idea of what Oregon State's offense is capable of against this Utah defense. And Utah is a road favorite. And I have Louisville Wake here as being interesting. Consider Wake, 6.5-point favorites. Last time I saw against a Louisville team, they've both beaten Boston College close. I think I like Wake here. I think they're better by about 10 to 14 to me. Those are all of the regular games I have.
Do you have a lock? Do you have a lock this week?
I didn't give you any locks, did I? You know what? Because I had you play all of those sounds for Minnesota, lock up the Gophers for me.
Lock of the week.
Did you take one? Am I just blanking?
I am locking up the USC Trojans.
Oh, my God.
Lock of the week.
Oh, my God.
Lock it up.
Real quick request, Ty, before we go anywhere. Will you please drop that big, stanky, engorged, erupting, enticing drum and fife?
Engorged? Did I hear engorged in there?
It's a word, Ty. Look it up. Merriam and Webster confirmed.
What do we got?
Lafayette, 0-5, traveling to Princeton. Not terribly far from me in New Jersey. Do you go with the Tigers here?
By the way, it is October, mid-October. Princeton has somehow only played 3 games.
Yeah, I think the Ivies don't start until late September.
What the heck?
I think the football team is on the quarter system as well. I'm going Princeton.
I'll go Princeton here, yeah.
The Brown Bears, which makes sense as a name, hosting Holy Cross, Crusaders.
Let's go Crusaders. Why not? Let's go Crusaders. You're on the road at Brown.
We screwed up. We screwed up and said Fick Bomb instead of Lock Bomb.
Oh, okay.
Gordy.
Damn.
Let's be very clear.
Right.
We're both going Crusaders. We're both going Lock Bomb. Bucknell at 0-5. The Nellies traveling to take on the Gators at 0-6. A combined 0-11.
Two enter, one must win, Dan.
The Wonder Dome. Ty, you going Nellies or Gators?
I think I got to go Nellies here because we may need to consider the possibility that by traveling to see Colgate in the FCS playoffs at the Fargo Dome, we may have jinxed the whole thing. They have not won since we made the decision to go to Fargo, North Dakota. So, yeah, I guess I got to go Nellies here.
I kind of miss Fargo.
It was cool.
Good coffee, disappointing bagel. Fordham, 2-4. Traveling to the Hornets' Nest, that is Georgetown at 4-1, the clear class of the Pat League.
Look, let me fade the music here.
Ooh.
Fordham, one true team of New York. Georgetown, obviously the darling, playing at the Hornets' Nest of multi-sport field. I will go Georgetown.
I think I'm going Georgetown.
Usually we go Fordham. I'm going to go Georgetown.
I know. I actually just discovered a new Mexican place that's not of New Mexico that is a Mexican place that is new to me that I'm kind of excited to try in the Bronx, but it doesn't get me fully there. So I'm going Hoyas here.
So if Georgetown goes to the FCS playoffs, are we going to that game?
Yeah, DC's easy. If they're hosting.
If they're hosting, we could go to Multisport Field.
If they, oh man. If they go to Eastern Washington?
No.
I'm not doing that one.
I think my cutoff is like Ohio. Anything farther west and I'm out.
And I mentioned food in the Bronx. I should also mention, I don't think we did on the show, but when we went to DC, we went to a restaurant for like a brunch lunch.
Yeah.
And it was called, I want to say Timber Pizza.
Yep.
Which brings it full circle with Worldwide Saturday.
Right.
And we said, okay, I stepped up to the register and I said, okay, I think I'll do the spicy meat, whatever pizza. And they go, we don't serve pizza at this hour. And it's a place called Timber Pizza.
Yeah.
And so that has me worried about Georgetown, but it was not in the Georgetown neighborhood. So I'm still going with the Hoyas here to bring it full circle on Worldwide Saturday.
Okay, Dan.
How do you not have pizza for lunch?
It's okay. It's going to be
at a pizza place.
It's going to be okay.
They sold other people's bagels.
So I have two out of the box suggestions for our Pitbull secret verbal here.
Dale.
So I agree with you that maybe we should use Pitbull as a theme. I don't think Mr. Worldwide is checking his Twitter personally. I don't think it'll have much effect.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with this. Okay, secret verbal. Here we go.
Have we ever tried secret verbaling one of the official team accounts for a college football team?
I don't think so. But it's more of a wild card because we don't know the personality of the person or people running the account.
Have we ever considered doing like a cross sport thing? Like maybe our friends over at the Men in Blazers.
We haven't, and I'm fully willing to.
I think that they would appreciate a little Pitbull coming up in their Twitter.
All right. Okay. So what is the messaging we're doing here? I don't think we ever heard from Michael Felder. I don't think he ever tweeted about it when we said about was Saved by the Bell sweatshirt.
We could go back to the well and go Felder again.
No, we're not doing that. That's ridiculous.
So I think it's Men in Blazers, at Men in Blazers.
Something with Pitbull.
Soccer podcast. Great soccer podcast.
Yeah.
Something with Pitbull.
Is he going to be the guest on their show? Is Pitbull buying a franchise? Does he already own a franchise? Possibly.
Rumors of Pitbull buying a minority stake in Everton.
Okay.
Again, what are the rules of the secret verbal, Dan?
So we're gonna tweet at, it's at Men in Blazers?
At Men in Blazers, yeah.
Okay. Any truth to the rumor that Pitbull is buying a minority stake in Everton? We tweet something along those lines to the Men in Blazers, and it's just at Men in Blazers. And you do not indicate that it is anything to do with the solid verbal,
no.
Anything with secret verbal, anything. You just tweet that rumor at Men in Blazers. MENINBLAZERS. They do a great job. I like that. I like Pitbull. Is there any? I want to see there needs to be just a little bit. You just need to tickle it a little bit more.
Just a little bit more spice.
Just a little bit more spice. Not just that he's buying an interest. It's something else that he's interested in coaching. He is interested in performing the national anthem before a lot of their matches. I don't know. What are we thinking?
Maybe he's sponsoring a uniform.
Okay. Yeah, anything to do with Everton and Pitbull at the Men in Blazers.
I think that will suffice. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, thank you to one and all for downloading the show. Don't forget to get in on the Pick'em Pool. It's solidverbal.com/pick'em. PICKEM. It's free to play. Week-to-week game. Get in with your buddies. See who wins.
It's that easy.
We gave our picks. We gave our locks. We would encourage everyone again, as you're watching these games, it's a big worldwide Saturday of week 7 of college football. Give us a call at 408-VERBAL-1, 408-837-2251. Let us know what's on your mind. Very stream of consciousness are the reverbs.
Yes.
Let us know how you're feeling, what you're thinking. If it's cathartic for you, that's okay. Give us a call. The line is open all day. We will mix those down on Sunday and publish them as part of our week 7 recap show. Don't forget you can subscribe to the show on Apple, on Google, anywhere you get your podcasts. You can find Solid Verbal. Three shows a week. We do one on Thursday. We do one on Sunday. We do what we call the Tues Cruise on every Tuesday. It's going to be a fun one this week. Actually, next two weeks are going to be awesome.
Yes.
I'm pretty excited. Any parting shots, Mr. Rubenstein?
That's all I have. I gotta get some lozenges going, as you can probably hear.
Sound a little raspy.
Thank you.
Go get that fixed, okay?
Mm-hmm. Done.
For that guy over there, my good friend, and a little raspy, Dan Rubenstein. For myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you all Sunday afternoon. In the meantime, enjoy the games, enjoy the rest of your week, all your weekend, and stay solid.
Peace.